Can you handle one more? Can you handle one more? Okay, maybe not. No, can you? Lionel actually has a grizzly bear carpet in his living room. The grizzly bear is not actually dead. It's just scared to move. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, those are Chuck Norris jokes. Anyways, obviously we need Jesus in the house, so I'm going to get down on my knees and I'm going to pray. So what do you guys say? Let's go before the Lord together and let's invite him to come and speak to our hearts and lives today. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have, Father, to come into your house and, Lord, open up the word of God and Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would teach us, that you would lead us and guide us. Holy Spirit, that you would comfort us in every area of our lives, that you would show us what is truth, Father God, and help us and keep us away from the snares of the enemy, keep us away, Lord, from the snares of the world, and Father God, see to it that our life is everything that God the Father has called it to be. So, Lord, you are welcome in this place to do as you see fit. And, Father, we will give you all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement with that said, amen, amen. Well, if you're taking notes today, the title of this message is The Garment of Praise. The Garment of Praise. And if you brought your Bible, if you'll go in them with me to Psalms chapter 34, we're going to read verse number 1. And as you turn, if I could just say, just because a preacher is called or anointed to preach the gospel does not mean that he's any more anointed to actually do the word of God than you are. We are all on the same playing field. God has made available to each one of us his grace, his power, his spirit to live out his life. And there have been more than one occasions, and I know that Pastor Luke can testify, where as I was preparing or even as I was speaking or even after the message, I thought to myself, oh, Lord, help me to live it what I just preached. Help me to actually do what I preach, because I gotta do it. I can't just preach it and call that good enough. I've actually got to do it. So in preparing this message, the Word of God had shown some light on my life and brought me some understanding. And so I would just say, let this be an encouragement to you, and let the Word of God shine some light on your life and the different areas of your life where you could possibly put on the garment of praise, where you might have something else on. But here in Psalms chapter 34, verse number 1, David writes, and he says this, he says, I will bless the Lord, and if you brought a pen, why don't you underline the next three words, at all times. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And then he goes on here and he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's another good word to underline right there, the word continually. All right, let me read it one more time. I will bless the Lord at all times, semicolon. He's going to delve further, explain this thought. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In other words, what David is actually saying here is look, I've got a practice in my life. I've got a habit in my life. I have, there's something that I've added to the routines of my life. And much like you and I have routines today, for instance, one of them would be, hopefully you have a routine of brushing your teeth on a daily basis. Hallelujah. And your neighbor said amen. All right. Hopefully today you have a routine of taking a shower. Hopefully today you have a routine. You have a habit of doing things like setting aside time for yourself to eat, to nourish your body. There are routines that you've gathered from being a child that you still practice today and you plan on doing, hopefully, for the rest of your life. And David comes along here and says, look, there's something that I do on a continual basis. There's something that I do all the time. It is a practice that I have in my life. I do year round. I do all four seasons long. And that is that I give God praise. I have a habit. I have a practice. This is something I continually do. And that is that I give God praise. Now, when I say the word praise, I would venture to say that you are somewhat similar to me in that the first time you hear the word praise, maybe the thought that comes to your mind is a fast song at church. All right, you hear the word praise, and what's the first thing that comes to your mind? All right, a song, a Christian song, something to do with God, and it's got an upbeat. I can clap to it. But the problem is, if that is your definition of the word praise, then you've missed out on the real weightiness of what praise actually is. And the same thing with worship. When you hear about, okay, it's time for praise and worship, yes, we do that in song, but there's more to it than just that. And today we're not talking about worship, we're talking about praise. Really, the weighty part of the word praise is this, really the root of the word praise is this, that you would give thanks to God. That's really what praise is all about. Praise is really, it doesn't really have to do with a fast song, although you can praise God through a fast song. Praise is really all about giving God some thanks. And so that says to me that, hey, listen, I don't have to be in a church service necessarily and have a beat going to give God some praise. I can give God some praise right there in my home. I can give God some praise right there on my job. I can give God some praise right there in the middle of my situation by just saying, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you've done. I'm a grateful person. Hallelujah. And you are actually living a life of praise. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I have a habit of doing this. This is something that I have a part of my everyday life. And it kind of really rings a bell in my heart that, hey, that he would think it so important that he would have this a part, that he would actually make it a point to practice praise or giving God some thanks. It's a part of my everyday life, not something I just do once a year on the American holiday. Now, if you brought your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. We were there in the Old Testament. Let's take a look now at what the New Testament has to say, because the writer of Hebrews actually has something similar to say. He actually, when you read this, you may even think, I wonder if he got some of his inspiration from Psalms 34, because it's very similar. And I think it's interesting to find that we have a verse both in the Old Testament and the New Testament telling us to do the same thing. Are you ready? Okay, maybe some of you are. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, it says, therefore, by Jesus, let us, underline this next word, continually. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Look at that. He said it way better than I ever could have. He actually defines what praise is right here in this verse. He says, therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Let it be a continual thing. That is, of course, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Let it be a continual thing. How often do you give God thanks? How often do we give God thanks? Is it just simply at the dinner table? God, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body in Jesus' name. How often do we actually take time and set time aside? How much of a practice do we have in our lives of giving God thanks? Because, see, I found this to be true, that when I'm giving thanks, I eliminate the opportunity to complain. When I'm giving thanks, I eliminate my opportunity to gripe, my opportunity to see things in a negative sense when I'm giving thanks. I actually get that out of my life. I take that and I remove that. Not only that, but I found this to be true, that I actually seed my heart, I seed my mind, and I seed my life toward a good attitude. Let's just make it real simple tonight. If you got a habit of giving thanks in your life, you are setting yourself up for success in your future, in the upcoming events in your life. However, if you have an attitude of complaining, you actually set yourself up for failure. I know people, and I've heard plenty of stories of people who have lost their job because of a bad attitude. I wonder if it didn't first start with complaining. Complaining about the boss, complaining about, I don't know the word, complaining about the coworker, complaining about the environment, complaining, and all of a sudden now it led them to a place where eventually they lost their job. I know people today, because of a bad attitude, they lost the relationships that they've been in. I wonder if it first didn't start with a complaint. Rather than giving of thanks, they found themselves in a place of complaining and therefore set themselves up for failure in the future. Do you know the Bible's very clear? The children of Israel missed the promised land because they complained. I wonder if today, if the thing that is holding you back from your blessing is just simply the fact that you have put on the garment of complaining instead of the garment of praise. And God is saying, look, if you will just get over onto the other side, if you will focus your eyes on me, if you will focus your heart on me and begin to remember and with your lips say thank you, I will all of a sudden be able to open up the door and bring the blessing and the things that I have for you into your life. But you're going to have to give thanks. You and I are going to have to give thanks. I want to read to you this quote. This is a quote from somebody who I very much admire. He writes this. He writes, poor attitudes are much like an unattended loose bolt in an engine. Sooner or later, they're going to create costly problems. That's Doug Jones. One more time. Poor attitudes are much like an unattended loose bolt in an engine. Sooner or later, they are going to create costly problems. See, when we live a life of thanks, we seed our hearts, our minds, and our lives up for a good attitude. We live a life of complaining. We set ourselves up. We seed ourselves. Do you guys understand what I mean by seed? You are actually sowing into yourself, and you are getting ready to produce an attitude. You're getting ready to produce in yourself a position by which you will live out the upcoming events in your life. Hallelujah. And so we need to live a lifestyle of giving thanks. It's called a lifestyle of praise. Today, just a couple of things, just 2 points real quick, of some things that will help us live a lifestyle of praise, help us to continually give thanks. And number one is this: awareness. Awareness. How aware are we of God's proximity to our lives? How aware are we really of God's working in our lives? How aware are we really of who He is? Because I found this to be true. When you really understand, when you are aware of how close God is to you, man, that will drive you to give Him praise. When you read in your Bible and you see all throughout Scripture that God will never leave you, He will never forsake you, He is for you and not against you, and if God is for you, what can be against you? And you begin to realize these truths. Hey, you know what? God, He didn't spare Jesus, but He actually delivered Him up for me. How will He not also with Him freely give me all things? You see, God is on your side. God is looking to help you out. God is looking to do something awesome in your life. Well, whatever it is that you have on your mind right now, listen, let me tell you, God's got something so much better. And it's in our awareness of who He is and what He's up to that we will find ourselves inspired to give God thanks. I remember when I was a little kid, I remember being at home, and of course, as much as you love your parents, you love to have visitors from time to time. One of my favorite visitors was my grandma, and of course, if you can think back that far, you can remember. Can you remember back when your parents made you take a nap? Yeah. And so I remember on a number of different occasions, I'd find myself, and my parents would say, you know, grandma's gonna come over, but I need you to lay down for a nap. All right. And when you get up, she'll be here, and you can visit with her. And so, of course, because I didn't want to take a nap, I prolonged things, and time went by, and finally I got tired enough that I fell asleep. And then what happens? I wake up, my head pops off the pillow, and I think, oh, is Grandma here? And I go running out to my mom, and she says this, son, I'm sorry, but Grandma came. She was here, but you were asleep. Of course, you could imagine how devastating that might be for a child. I probably started crying in that moment. But think about it. I wonder if there are not times in our life where God says, I came, I was here, but you weren't aware. You missed it. You missed it. It all has to do with our awareness. In Mark chapter 4, we find the story, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. We're not going to read it today, but we find the story of the disciples getting into a boat with Jesus and crossing over to the other side. And so Jesus gets done with a long day of ministry, and he's tired. So the Bible says he falls asleep in the stern of the boat. And as they're going across to the other side, all of a sudden, there's this storm that arises. The wind gets heavy. The waves get real pushy. There's water coming into the boat. And the disciples are freaking out. The disciples are like, they're like coming to their wits' end. And in fact, it gets so bad that they wake up Jesus. And their words to Jesus are this: do you not care that we all going to die? We're going to die. It's the end of the world, Jesus. It's the end of the world. It's over. It's over. And Jesus, the Bible says, so Jesus gets up, he stands up, he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves, and he says, peace be still, everything comes to a perfect calm. And then he turns to them and he says, why were you so afraid? Don't you have faith? By now, don't you have some faith in your life? And then I would imagine, the Bible doesn't say this, but I imagine that Jesus went back to his bed, lay back down, fell back asleep. And the Bible says, the disciples said to themselves, They said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? It was like Jesus was right there. He was right there the entire time. Yet they were not aware of really who he was. I find it interesting that Jesus even asked the disciples at one point in time, he says, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a great prophet. Okay, and he goes, all right, who do you say that I am? And I found this to be true, that knowing who Jesus is very much dependent upon how much I'm willing to interact with him. Very much dependent upon how much I'm willing to seek his face. Very much dependent upon how much I'm willing to draw near. But as long as we live our lives and we just care, and we don't care, and everything is fine, and I'm cool with what I got, then I wonder if we're not setting ourselves up to be unaware, unconscious, and thereby we miss what God is trying to do. See, when you're aware, man, that will inspire you to give God some thanks. Thank you, God, you'll never leave me. Thank you, God, you'll never forsake me. Thank you, God, that you are my help. Thank you, God, that you uphold me with your right hand. Thank you, God, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God, you deliver them out of them all. Listen, God, there have been people who have trusted in kings. There have been people who have trusted in princes. There have been people who've trusted in nations, in horses, in the strength of men's legs. But God, only you deliver, and you are on my side, and you are here to help me. And so, God, I'm going to go ahead and give you some thanks instead of complain about why I don't think things are going the way that I think they should be going. You're going to have to be aware. And number two today, you're going to have to put on the right apparel. You're going to have to put on the garment of praise. Listen, if you're going to build in your life a habitual life of praise, of giving God thanks, you're going to have to put on the garment of praise. You're going to have to check out what you're wearing. Isaiah 61, verse number 3. Second to the last verse for tonight. You guys doing all right? Three people. Hallelujah. All right. Isaiah 61, verse number 3. Isaiah 61, verse number 3. This is what it says. Just to read it in context, I'm going to quote from verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me, verse number 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Watch what he says here. The garment of praise, the garment of thanksgiving for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All of a sudden now we see something happening here. We see God give to you and I what the Bible calls a garment of praise. What's interesting about this garment of praise is this. Just as you would go into your closet and choose what you are going to wear for the day, you also have to choose to put on the garment of praise. Ain't nobody going to make you do it. In fact, I've seen people be super inspired, if you will, and yet they still have a choice. You have a choice that when you wake your head, when you lift your head off the pillow in the morning and you go into your closet and you're looking at what am I going to wear today, you have the choice also to then take on and put on the garment of praise and begin in the morning to give God the thanks that is due his name. It's your choice. It's your call. Nobody's going to put it on for you. I found this to be true also that, you know what, once you got yourself dressed and you got yourself all ready to go and you go to work, you don't start taking off your clothes till you get home. Otherwise, somebody's going to call the cops. They're going to arrest you for indecent exposure. Likewise, we cannot take off the garment of praise. It is something that we are to put on and keep on till the job is done. And last time I checked, the job ain't going to be done until we see Jesus face to face. You're going to have to choose to put it on, and then you're going to have to keep it on. Here's what else I see. Here's what else I see here in this verse. He says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It almost implies to me that before God gives you this garment of praise, you got a different kind of garment on. There's a great exchange taking place here. God's giving you some new clothes. I don't know about you, but I like myself some new clothes. Now, let me say this. I'm going to take a little sidetrack journey here for just a moment, real briefly. Because, see, if you have a good friend, they'll let you know whether or not what you got on looks good. They will pull you aside. Look, I'm not sure that's your best look. Can I help you out? And there was one such incident in my life, and I have a good friend right over here by the name of Antonio. And I wish there were more years between this time and that time, but the more I look back, I guess not. When Pastor Luke and I actually first took over Shift, what, 3.5 years ago? Four years ago, all right? Pastor Joe still wore some of the clothes that I wore in high school. Now, if you you got to understand where I grew up, I liked hip-hop music, I like rap music, I liked myself some basketball, I wore some Jordans, I wore some baggy jeans, like four sizes too big, and maybe not four, maybe three. All right, and some t-shirts too big, and I thought it was cool. And I had a good friend come up to me and say, listen, brother, that's not your best look. He didn't say it to me exactly like that, but he was very kind. And so he eventually talked me in. He went shopping with me one Christmas. I had some gift cards, and he's like, here's what would look good on you. And so I started to change my wardrobe, all right, change my wardrobe a little bit. Now, quite frankly, I'm 30 years old. I've come to the place where I don't care what you think about what I wear anymore. I'm just going to wear it. If it's clean, I'm going to put it on, be happy, all right? All right, all right. But anyways, when I started changing my wardrobe, I still didn't have enough new clothes, okay, to wear out. I was still kind of going back and getting some of the old ones. And when I come to church or I come to Shift and Antonio would see me, he didn't have to say anything. His face said it all. This is what his face said. I thought we got rid of that. I thought that went in the trash can, Pastor Joe. And I wonder if sometimes God doesn't look at us and say, and look at the kind of apparel, the kind of garments that we wear. And I wonder if he doesn't say to you and I from time to time, I thought we got rid of that. I thought we got rid of that complaining. I thought that when you gave me your heart and you gave me your life, I thought we got rid of those kinds of words. Because that's not your best look. I came and I gave you some new garments. You are supposed to have exchanged those old garments, put them in the trash, put on my garments. They are custom tailored fit. And they look good on you. In fact, they don't just look good on you. They will bless your life. You know, it said that depending upon the things that you wear, you could actually get yourself a promotion at your job. Your clothes can actually bless your life, can open up. I remember one time I had a tie on. I had my slacks. I had my shirt tucked in. I was looking all good. I went to Chipotle for lunch. I was happy to go. I had a guy begging me to let him employ me. Because they weren't anything expensive. They weren't anything super fancy. But I had on some good clothes. And it opened up a door of opportunity. Now, I didn't take it because I worked for the church, and God called me here, and so I was happy. And besides, I just better stop before I get in trouble. What kind of garments are you wearing today? Because today you need to put on the garments of praise. And I'll close with this verse. This is out of Psalms 33:1. If you just go back one chapter from Psalms 34, where we were earlier, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful." I like to put it this way. Praise looks good on you. Complaining don't look good on you. But praise looks good on you. How about this from the New American Standard Bible? Sing for joy in the Lord. Same verse. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Praise looks good on you. So you're going to have to put on the garment of praise. You're going to have to be aware. You're going to have to get to know God, conscious of who he is and what he's doing in your life. Number two, you're going to have to check out your apparel. You're going to have to put on the garment of praise. Don't take it off till the job is done. Now, my third point today is the word awake. And what I like to do is I like to help you today, if God spoke to your heart, to help awaken some praise in you. And what I want to do is I want to bring up a couple of people who are just going to simply tell of some of the good things that God has done in their lives. It's going to go real fast. They got 2 or 3 minutes. We told them 3 or 4, but I just shortened it. 2 or 3, they can do it. And they're just going to simply testify of the good things that God has done. And here's the wonderful thing about testimony. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is no respecter of persons. And if he did it for somebody, you got to know he's looking to do it for you too. Dang, you are a quiet bunch today. Maybe you ate too much turkey. I don't know. But hallelujah, I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit is getting some good things in your heart. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring up Josh Burgess first. And did I say your last name right? Burgess? Berghaus. All right, close. I was close. All right. I know how to spell it. So, all right. So I'm. Can you pronounce my last name right? Well, actually, no, I'm just kidding. You did fine. No, you're fine. You're fine. No, you're fine. You're my student, and I don't even. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so Josh is gonna. Josh, what has God done for you?
Thank you, Pastor Joe. I'm just privileged to stand up here. I know the Holy Spirit wants to say something, and that they chose me to stand here. God's done a lot of things, but they asked me to narrow it down to a few things, so I figured these would be the best ones. I think the first one was I had to give up my bed for a trip up to Seattle. I felt like the Spirit was asking me to go up there for a couple weeks, and so I actually sacrificed it. It was like the legit one. It had the memory foam thing on it. It was like super comfortable, best sheets and all that. Well, I gave it up a few years ago, and Lord's good, man. He returns. You know, he is a God that restores. He took it, and I actually got like the whole setup kind of similar a few years later for $100, and I just got that. So that's like a little thing to build up on it. It was really exciting to see that even though I do great things and I expect great things, he took that one and he gave it back to me because he knew how important it was to me. So instead of using other people's bed, I finally had my own bed back. So that's pretty exciting. I think the second one's really where it hits home into my heart was I claimed a promise in the Bible. You know, they encourage you to read the word and get it in you and get it deep in you so you don't forget about it. And I think one of the things that I really held on to because of the status of my family was in Acts where they say that a lot of the times that the Spirit would fall in a house and everybody would get saved. And that was something that just meant a lot to me because I had family members that I didn't want to see go to hell. And, you know, my father was very important to me. And, I remember Pastor Luke, you know, we prayed a couple years ago right over there and he stopped drinking. And this was a man who I never thought God could touch when I was, you know, just an infant in faith. And then lo and behold, I kept holding on the promise. I kept praying it and I kept believing on it. Well, my dad actually walked the altar in the main sanctuary a few weeks ago. So that was like super big for me and my family. And, you know, God's doing a great thing in his heart. So believe for the impossible and it becomes possible with God. And I think the third one, honestly, that they asked me to share that I think is true to me too, is I've become more intimate with who Jesus really is. I mean, we think of this vast creator and we hear about it, but when you actually start to read and get it in you and believe it, and you believe in the engrafted word of God, that's when it starts to change your life. So don't ever be afraid to push into it and believe that God will do the miraculous. From a bed to a family member to even have that intimate moment where literally he's right in front of you. And it's almost scary to be like, the creator of the universe is standing here and he's a part of my life. So it just really blesses me. And thank you for me being able to share that with you guys tonight.
Man, that's great. Things that God will do that he's done in Josh's life. I remember Josh coming up and asking for prayer for his dad. His dad walked the aisle, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? All right, Trey, where are you at? Everybody give Trey a round of applause. Now, Trey, brother, you're gonna have to testify. You ready to? I know you are. All right.
I just want to just say thank you to Pastor Luke and Pastor Joy for just believing in me. I'm a shift intern, and I just thank you. I just want to talk about how comfortable I feel right now in my relationship with God. Like, just 2 Timothy 1:7, just, you know, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Like, that's why I confess, like, every single day. It's, like, the reason why I'm up here. Like, I'm an antisocial guy. Like, first time I came here, I was sitting in the back corner, and Pastor Luke was the first person to talk to me. I was like, oh, okay. I know you were the pastor at first either. I was like, okay, that's very cool. You're very approachable. You too, Pastor Joyce. So I'm thankful for that as well. But I just feel like God wants me just to talk to you guys about just overcoming your fears, just breaking out your shell, knowing that God is with you wherever you go. Like I said, in Joshua 1:5, that he is with you. Just to be strong and of good courage, that you can do anything. Just know that he is with you. Because God, the creator of heavens and earth, he is with you wherever you go. And you can do whatever he has called you to do. So just step out in faith. Don't be afraid. Because I'm nervous right now. But I know God's with me. So I'm thankful for that. So I just want to say thank you to Antonio. Because I ushered because of you. I was trying to leave. And you stopped me. You're like, oh, dang it. But I was like, but thank you for having the confidence in me, for baptizing me. Thank you. I want to say thank you to Beth too. I'm an intern because of you. I feel like I'm getting stronger since I've been coming here. Like, I've been growing the word of God, just like in my relationships and everything. I'm just getting rid of fear basically in my life. So I'm just having confidence in God every single day. So just trust God. Just trust God in general. Just know that He is with you wherever you go. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey. You know, I've heard a few testimonies of God helping people kind of get out of their shell in a good way, and where people have been, kind of dominated by timidity. You know, the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Actually, the actual word there is timidity, all right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's just so awesome to see people and young adults come to a place where, man, they got a person of power, a person of love, and of a sound mind. And so, you know what? Keep on seeking God and be thankful today. If you got something good from God's word today, come on and give Him a great big praise. What I want to do as we dismiss today is I just want to make sure that everybody here is right with God. I want to make sure that you are on your way to heaven and that you are denying hell. Listen, I think everybody in the house would agree that one day you and I are going to die. We're going to leave this earth behind.